New insights on Habit 1, Be Proactive. Growing up in my home was often painful because Dad would make us take responsibility for everything. If I came home from school and said something like, "My girlfriend makes me so mad," Dad would respond by saying, "Now, no one can make you mad unless you let them, Sean. It's your choice." Or if I grumbled, "I can't stand my math teacher. I'm going to flunk algebra because of him," Dad would take me aside and gently say, "Sean, listen to your language. If you flunk algebra, it's your fault, not your teacher's. And instead of talking about your teacher, why don't you talk with him about how to improve things in class?" I'd think, "Are you serious, Dad? You don't get it." And then I'd go find Mom, who would let me blame other people for my problems. It was a good balance. Dad was always loyal to principals, while Mom was always loyal to you. Habit 1, Be Proactive 101. As humans, our tendency is to play the victim, and unless you're watchful, it will sneak up on you, and you'll start blaming outside forces, parents, spouses, bosses, the weather, the government, circumstances, the man, whomever, for your problems. In reality, we are not victims. We're agents. We are the creative forces of our lives, and we are free to choose. But we have to be reminded of this all the time. Many years ago, my dad asked me how work was going. I began listing my complaints. "It's hard to juggle so much. The office politics are terrible. I'm totally burned out, Dad. My long commute is killing me." And on I went. I was hoping for a little sympathy. Instead, Dad looked at me disappointedly and said, "Gee, Sean, that doesn't sound like you. Why are you being such a victim? Organize your time so that you're not so busy. Don't get your head into office politics. If you don't like your long commute, then move." He then walked away. I was taken aback, but suddenly realized, he's absolutely right. I'm being a victim. How did this happen? Stop it right now. It was a good wake-up call. Yes, I was free to choose my attitude, my level of busyness, my commute, and my response to everything that was happening to me. I felt so grateful for the reminder. What the data says. We now have a great deal of empirical data that backs up everything my father wrote about proactivity back in 1989. With 20 years of research behind her, Stanford professor Carol Dweck found that most people have one of two mindsets or paradigms about their ability to learn: a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. People with a fixed mindset believe their intelligence and talent are fixed and that there's not much they can do about it. This is a reactive view of the world. "I'm not good at math," or "I've never been good with people, so why try?" On the other hand, people with a growth mindset believe that their basic abilities can be developed and enhanced through dedication and hard work, a belief that they are in the driver's seat and can, therefore, improve and change. This proactive view of the world results in proactive thinking and language. "I need to get better with numbers," or "I can be more considerate of my partner." In like manner, Dr. Martin Seligman, the distinguished director of the Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania, explores the benefits of focusing on your circle of influence. In his book, Authentic Happiness, he concludes that your happiness depends on 1, genetics, 2, circumstances, and 3, things you can control. However, his research found that genetics and circumstances have less to do with happiness than the third category, the things you can control. So to be happy, Seligman suggests focus on things you can control. And then we have Angela Duckworth, also a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, who backs up the idea that resourcefulness and initiative, what we call R&I, are key predictors of success. Over many years, she studied children and adults in challenging environments, including West Point military cadets, National Spelling Bee contestants, and rookie teachers in difficult schools. In each study, her research team asked the question, "Who is successful here and why?" Across numerous contexts, one characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success: grit. In her book, Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance, Duckworth examines how grit is the quality that allows an individual to work hard and maintain focus, not just for weeks or months, but for years. I couldn't agree with Duckworth more. In my role as an executive, I've hired hundreds of people. I used to consider an applicant's GPA, the school they attended, and the information on their resume. Now, I focus on two things: how well they get along with other people, and the way they exercise R&I, or what Duckworth calls grit. If they score high on R&I and display grit and a growth mindset, I'm confident they will succeed. In fact, gritty is now an official characteristic on our hiring profile form. Proactive teams and organizations. Being proactive also applies to teams and organizations, not just individuals. Organizations of all kinds, business, government, education, or the nonprofit sector, face setbacks, market shifts, competition, cycles, and disruptions. And unless they are proactive and learn to adapt and overcome obstacles, they won't survive. One of our clients in Southeast Asia, a world-class high-tech manufacturer, is a great example of this. They embrace the 7 habits, training every employee from the CEO to the front line. They deeply believed in the principles, but then they were put to the test. At the time, their factory headquarters were experiencing the heaviest rainy season in 50 years. Immense floods drove 13 million people from their homes, and more than 800 people died. It was reported to be the 4th most expensive natural disaster in world history. Our client was particularly hard hit, with its vast manufacturing facility under nearly 6 feet of water, devastating an operation that required a zero-dust environment. Experts estimated that it would take $1 billion and at least 7 months of cleanup to get even a part of the factory back online, while much of the high-end equipment would require years to replace. Some market reports even predicted the end of the company, which would leave nearly 35,000 workers without jobs. The effects were immediate and global, as high-tech manufacturing everywhere ground to a halt without some of these key components. Our client's leaders refused the notion that it would take years to get back to work, and they were not going to wait to be rescued. Their leadership team had been trained in the 7 habits. They had worked to make the principles their core operating system. So drawing on years of practicing, they put habit 1, be proactive, to the ultimate test. They immediately spread the word that there would be no layoffs. Their employees were like family, and they would get on their feet as one. The safety of their people was their first priority. Crews were organized to help the most stricken employees in their flooded homes. Next up, they hired local Navy crews to salvage irreplaceable equipment and get it to dry land for refurbishing. While the plants of other big companies in their industrial park rusted in the mud, their workers laid off, our clients' work continued nonstop. Surely it made a difference to keep everyone on the payroll, but rebuilding the business as a team came naturally to these remarkable workers. Tens of thousands, many still trying to cope with crises at home, showed up to revive their plant. Some traveled miles each day from refugee centers, often in small boats or on water oxen for hours a day, determined to help. Many found themselves doing jobs they had never done before, hard, muddy labor. Company leaders rolled up their sleeves and toiled alongside line workers. Some who had never met before formed teams and solved problems on the spot. As a result, the plant reopened only 15 days after the waters receded. Within a year, it had reclaimed the #1 position in the market. Observers were astonished that it didn't take billions of dollars and many years to recover. All it took was a superb team, willing to wade through mud for each other. That is the power of a proactive culture. Be the transition. We've all been through difficult things, and if you haven't yet experienced adversity, believe me, you will. Our ability to put the past behind us, learn from it, and move forward is one of the greatest ways we show proactivity. The very essence of being proactive can be captured in the idea of a transition person, someone who stops the negative tendencies, habits, and patterns of the past, such as abuse, harmful addictions, and neglect. Instead, they pass on to their family, friends, and associates more positive habits, patterns, and tendencies. We can stop these intergenerational destructive patterns from being passed on by using our 4 human endowments: self-awareness, which is our ability to stand apart from ourselves and observe what we like or don't like. Conscience, which is our ability to discern between right and wrong. Imagination, our ability to envision new possibilities. And independent will, our ability to act outside of all other influences. Recently, I had a conversation with a friend who flies from Arizona to Pennsylvania every weekend to see his son play college football. I remarked, "I can't believe you go out every weekend to see your son play. That's a huge effort. You're a really good dad." He thanked me and explained, "When I was a kid, I used to dread the sound of my stepfather coming home because he would beat me all the time." "I'm so sorry. How were you able to rise above that?" I asked. "I don't know exactly when it happened," he said, "but when I was young, I remember having the thought, I am not going to be like him. I'm going to show love to my child. And ever since then, I've tried to be a good father." Even more incredibly, my friend doesn't harbor any negative feelings toward his stepfather. He told me, "I don't know how, but I've been able to forgive him and move on. I've also been able to forgive and get over my real father, whom I met only once for just 1 hour. When I look back on my childhood, I'm able to stand back and identify that dark spot in the corner, and it no longer affects me." I am in awe of my friend and how he has reinvented his life to become a transition person in his family. He stopped the abuse in his generation, and he is now passing on a tradition of love and support to his wife and children. All four human endowments are identifiable here. As a young boy, my friend knew the abuse was wrong and envisioned himself becoming a different kind of father. He was able to stand apart and make a conscious choice to forgive his stepfather and his birth father and let go of the pain of his childhood. Self-awareness is a catalyst for the other three endowments. When you can stand apart from your own mind and examine it, to think about your thoughts, feelings, and moods, you then have the basis for using imagination, conscience, and independent will in entirely new ways. You literally become transcendent. You transcend your background, history, and psychic baggage, just as my friend was able to do. I have another friend with a similar past who also has been able to reverse the abuse he grew up with and pass on healthy patterns to his own children. But on a personal level, he has been unable to get over the psychic baggage of his upbringing. He said, "My father really messed me up. He also messed up my mother and sisters. They are all a wreck, and deep inside, I am too. I've never been able to get over what he's left me with." Now, I am in no position to judge him because I will never fully understand what he went through. However, I do believe that if he were to fully exercise his four human endowments, he too would find more peace of mind than he ever thought possible. Yes, our genes, our upbringing, our difficulties, they affect us, but I do not believe they determine us. Remember, being proactive is the first habit for a reason. You cannot practice any of the other habits until you first decide that you are in charge. Each day, you and I make hundreds of decisions as to whether to be reactive or proactive. On any given day, the weather is bad, you receive a mean text, your boss diminishes you, you get a parking ticket, your friend talks behind your back, you get overlooked for a promotion, your property taxes increase. So, what are you going to do about it? Reactive people make choices based on impulse. They're like a can of soda. When life shakes them up, the pressure builds and they suddenly explode. Proactive people make choices based on values. They think before they act. They recognize they cannot control everything that happens to them, but they can control what they do about it. Unlike reactive people who are full of carbonation, proactive people are like water. Shake them up all you want, they stay cool, calm, and in control. After all that's been said and written, being proactive comes down to two things. First, take responsibility for your life. And second, take initiative. It's that simple. Be an agent, not a victim. Don't wait for life to happen to you. Happen to it. Be the driver of your life, not just a passenger. Live out of your imagination, not your past.